Our scripture reading this morning will begin in Matthew 26. I'm doing something a little different this morning, different from anything I've ever done before. I had a message prepared, and as at the early meeting, we were remembering the Lord, we sang a hymn. That hymn was "Lead Me to Calvary." My heart and soul was moved by it. And as I sat there and as I thought about it and as we continued to remember the Lord, it just seemed like it dawned on my soul that we couldn't remember too much and too often the event that took place so long ago, some 2,000 years ago, that the Son of God, the Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world, would hang on a cross. No, we couldn't do that too often. Because, beloved, had he not hung upon that cross, had he not died for your sin and my sin, there wouldn't be any salvation for any of us this morning. And that dawned on my soul. And I thought about it. And I said, I just must read this account. I chose Matthew's Gospel. I'm familiar with it, and I'm going to be reading from that passage starting in the 26th chapter, making some comments along the way. My prayer is that this is for the glory of God. Wasn't easy for me to do it because first I felt rather uncomfortable. You take a preacher's notes away from him and he gets a little bit jumpy. But in this case, I have no notes. Anything I say comes out of my weak mind and a heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read what prompted all this because I think it's important. This hymn is found in the hymn book that we use at the remembrance meeting. And this is how it goes. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. And may I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Shall we just bow in a word of prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the wisdom of God. That wisdom that wrought in a way that is still so strange to the sons of men. That wisdom that would reckon that man as a poor sinner. All of this was determined by thee, Lord. Disobedience would bring about separation and alienated from your fellowship and all that could be enjoyed in your presence. So all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in your wisdom, you provided a Savior. That Savior had to be willing to comply with the divine will. And our Lord Jesus Christ would declare that my will is to do the will of Him that sent me. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, thank God this morning He found us. Everyone in this room this morning, Lord, that You have touched their hearts and You have reminded them of the sacrifice that You made for their sin. Thank You, Lord. And as we read these scriptures this morning, Lord, and as we reflect and muse upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, grant, we pray Thee, that the Spirit of God will have perfect freedom in delivering these words, these scriptures, home to the hearts of those that are present here. If there just happens to be someone here that has never trusted Him, oh Lord, may the Spirit of God convict them and help them to open their hearts and receive Him. This we ask in His precious name. Amen. Reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, we read, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said unto His disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." The Lord Jesus Christ had repeatedly told His disciples that He was to be crucified. He was to be put to death. He was to die under the penalty of sin, the sin of the world. And so it was no news that they hadn't heard before. Repeatedly He told them this. It seems that perhaps they weren't listening. Or as it was with Peter when he heard this, you know what he said? "God forbid. God forbid. That'll never happen to you. I won't let that happen to you." And you know, and we'll read in just a moment, those that tried to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, out came that sword. He was ready, as he said, to do battle for the Lord Jesus Christ and protect Him if necessary. Of course, the Lord told him, "Put that sword up. Not the time for the sword now." You know, if all that had ended right then, and we didn't have what happened later, perhaps Peter could say, you know, if I could have just maintained that kind of courage, and if I could just have maintained that kind of devotion and willingness to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd be a lot happier. You know, he denied the Lord. You know that happened. And that's a sad day. But don't look at Peter and say, "Shame on you." Because every one of us can go look in the mirror and say, "Shame on you." How many times have we denied the Lord? How many times have we, when we had an opportunity to speak for Him or to live for Him, and we chose not to do it? We had something else that seemed more important. So, Peter, we're not criticizing you, brother. All of us have done the same thing. But the disciples, the point is this, the disciples knew, because the Lord had told them over and over. Here we're coming to the observance of the Passover. And at this Passover time, there will be the offering up of a sinless sacrifice like there was never offered before. That little lamb that the nation of Israel and the people of God so carefully chose out to be offered as a sacrifice at the time of Passover. John the Baptist had already identified the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world. Well, the Lamb of God is about to be offered at Passover time. And there'll never, never, never need to be an offering of a sacrifice again for sin. If you read and if you have been following some of the studies that Mark has had in the book of Hebrews, you know that all the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, all of these sacrifices, it had been offered. They couldn't settle the sin question because it had to be repeated over and over and over. They could not take away sin and its penalty. It just saved the hand of God from judgment upon poor sinners. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that has left heaven's glory, come down to this place, earth. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty, his willingness to submit and to bow and to take this lowly place, all of that would result in your life and my life being enriched, our sins forgiven, never having to have any deep concern in our souls about where we're going when we die. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid it all. And we owe it all to him. And that's what has moved my soul this morning, to read these passages and to think about these things. So he talked to his disciples. He described to them what was going to happen. And as we get into this reading, we read about Judas Iscariot. And he betrayed the Lord and he sold the Lord. And all of that preparation for the Passover day. And our Lord instructing his disciples in verse 18, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Submitting to that authority that came from God in the carrying out of this observance of the Passover, a mighty reminder to them of what God had done in liberating his people out of Egypt, out of bondage. That's where this all started. This is where we get that picture for us of the Lamb being slain, and his blood was the only thing that stood between that person inside that house. The only thing that stood between him and God's judgment was the blood of that sacrifice. And I want to remind you this morning, the only thing that stands between you and me as believers, and the hand of judgment of God upon us, is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And sometimes I look at people that have been witnessed to. I look at those that have had the message of the gospel presented to them over and over and over and over again. And they think they've got plenty of time. I know that's the tendency of the human mind. Sometime I'll do it. But they're toying with the eternal destiny of their souls. Because he could come at any time, any moment. And if he did, you're not protected, you're not sheltered by the blood of Christ from the judgment of God. you were to drop out of this life today without Christ, yours will be the experience of a man, a rich man that died. And he opened his eyes being in torment. Sacrifice had not been made. The blood was not in place. And that spells the difference between being in a place, a sheltered place, a protected place. It's in Christ. It's in Christ and what He did upon that cross. People may read these words and glibly pass on and say, so what? We've been reading these old Bibles talking about these things for years and years. So much that you talk about has never happened. You keep talking about He's coming again. Yeah. Those that know the Lord, those that believe what God has said in His Word will tell you right away, yes, He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Well, He hasn't been here yet. Oh, yes, He's been here, but on a different mission. That mission was to provide salvation for your soul. The next time He's coming for those that He's redeemed with His precious blood. That's what we're talking about. Caught up in a moment to be with Him forever. Oh, as we think about so many that today drop off into eternity. And we've been talking with Jimmy about these things, and we've been rejoicing. We've been having a time together. There's sorrow there, for sure, but not like those that have no hope. Because those that are in this world that have never received Christ as their Savior don't have any hope. Hopelessness. Despair. Can you imagine, and I said that from this platform many times. Can you just think about it? The psalmist said, you know, my eyes are filled with tears. I'm overwhelmed with a sense of what it would be like for those. Have you done any weeping lately for those that you know that are not saved? They're not under the protective care of the blood that has been shed upon the cross? Psalmist talks about those that went forth sowing precious seed, weeping, weeping. There may not be enough weeping among God's people over the lost. Those dear souls, some in our own families, they're not saved. They don't know Christ as their Savior. They need Him. They don't have Him. And we weep about it. Oh, God, have mercy upon them. And here we have the last Passover, the last Passover that would ever be take place. And our Lord would be present. And the Lamb that was to be offered at this Passover would be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Our Lord said, as they did eat, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Yes, there was a betrayer there. There was someone there at that table. Judas Iscariot, that's what we're reading about. He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Poor Judas. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. Poor Judas. Think about it. He had been in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been in contact with the Son of God. To have rubbed elbows with God in manifest in the flesh. And he betrayed God. The very thing that had been offered for the penalty of his sin. And he betrayed that blessed person, our Lord Jesus Christ. He even asked the question, is it I? All the Lord said was, thou hast said. Thou hast said. It seems such a note of finality about that. That's what you said. That's your decision. And at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And that's when, this morning, at the Lord's Supper, and the offering of this hymn, it seemed the Spirit of God spoke to my soul and said, yes, I want to stay focused on being led to Calvary. And I just trust this morning, some way, somehow, as we read these scriptures and I make these comments, you will be led to Calvary. And your heart will be moved at what took place outside the city of Jerusalem. You won't let it just be words again. It's going to be words that go deep within your soul. Push everything else aside. You're not thinking about anything else. Lead me to Calvary. Lead me to that place where the Son of God, as the Lamb of God, made payment for our sin. While he was there, our Lord took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. See this bread? This is a picture of what's going to take place. He broke that bread. He took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood. This is a picture. This is what will be used in the future. I want you to remember me. That's what we read. My body was broken. My blood was shed. This is the New Testament, the New Covenant, the relationship with God. It's for the remission of sins. Isn't sin a costly thing? Sin. Disobedience to the mind and the will of God. All that God had planned in His perfect wisdom. Man has disobeyed God. And sin, and the penalty of sin, which is death, it has fallen upon all mankind. Oh, what a thought these things generate in our. I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. I tell you, as believers, believers reminisce as we are this morning and go back and think about what it costs to save our souls. But we look forward in time. And we know. We know. We know that having trusted Him, we are possessors of eternal life. And all of our sins have been forgiven. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Think about it just for a moment. Your sin, you as a sinner, and everything you ever did that was unacceptable to the will of God, it was laid on Him. He paid the penalty for it. All of it. Not just part of it, all of it. All of your sin was laid upon Him. The past, the present, the future. That's why we are so strong in our belief in eternal security of the soul, because He paid it all. Not piecemeal. Not Him do part and I do my part. Oh, no! No! It's Him and Him alone that can make an atonement for our sin. And He did it. And you may think lightly of it. But if you die in your sins, you won't think lightly of it. I don't believe that for a moment. I think one of the things that is in the mind of those that die without Christ is deep remorse in their soul. What a fool I was. What a fool I was. And am. And here I am in this place of judgment. All because I thought, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to wait and see how this develops. Well, I tell you, being cool can be a fool. And that's what the Word of God says. As we read on, our Lord says, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verily I say unto thee, and he's saying this to Peter, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. That probably didn't have a ring to it to Peter. He probably said, I just can't believe that. Because he said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, also said all the disciples. You know, you don't know your own heart. You don't know your own frame. You don't know what you'll do sometime until you're face to face with making that decision. What was true of Peter was true of all of them. What is true of Peter is true of all of us. You don't know. Like someone has well said, don't ever say never. Never say never. You don't know what you'll do. We don't know what we might do. We've already done some things that we were ashamed of. Every one of us in this room that has ever claimed faith in Jesus Christ, every one of us has done something we're ashamed of in view of the fact that we think about what he did for us. And sometimes we're so shallow in our dedication and loyalty to him who gave it all for us. They came to a place called Gethsemane. Someone has called us that section of Scripture when we're just walking on holy ground. We go into this place where our Lord went so often. And he went into that place and he said, you sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he did that. He took Peter, two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and walk, watch with me. Went a little further and fell down on his face praying, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Yes, the Son of God had a view of a bitter cup. A bitter cup. The one that knew no sin. The one that was sinless. And he knew that he was going to be brought into contact with sin. He was going to be made sin. He's going to be made a sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. Every wicked, evil thing that mankind had ever done or thought of doing, he was going to have to identify himself with that and pay the penalty for it to God's satisfaction. A God who is righteous and never acts independent of his righteousness. It's got to be done God's way. And that's why it had to be a sinless sacrifice. That's why it had to be God dying for sinners. That's what this is all about. And our Lord knew that. And his holy soul. Think about it. You're being identified with something that you've never been identified before. something you hate. The most despicable thing you can think of that could ever happen in your life. And you're about to be identified with it. And you're going to be brought in contact with it. That's what it's all about. Yes. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Oh, can we even measure in our own minds, our little minds, can we even measure the depths of sorrow that the Son of God felt at that moment? And that's just thinking about it. And He's going to do it. He's going to be made sin for us. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt. Let your will be done. He spoke to the disciples and He told them, perhaps there was some disappointment. You couldn't even watch with me 1 hour. I sometimes think about myself, and I know you do too. How little you really think about what He did for you, and I think about what He did for me. If we were as devoted to Him as He is to us, I believe things would be a lot different in every one of our lives. Don't you? Don't you feel that way? If I was devoted to Him like He was devoted to me, wouldn't things be different? You know they would. You know they would. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody ever loved you like the Son of God loved you. Not even your mom and dad. Closest friend that you ever had. They never loved you like He loved you. You can't think of anybody that loved you like He loved you. So He just told them, sleep on. And finally, rise, let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray me. You know, I'm a little disappointed in that I haven't handled this the way I wanted to, because I wanted to spend more time thinking about Him on the cross. But the time is gone. But I think I've started you to thinking about what I'm thinking. Lead me to Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. Yes. The one that knew no sin died upon a cross outside the city of Jerusalem. For you and for me. He died not for His own sin, but for your sin and my sin. You know what He said? And there are at least 7 things that He said from that cross. While He's hanging upon that cross, suspended there, between heaven and earth, lifted up from the earth, rejected by those that are on the face of the earth, looking into the heavens, and the lights are going to go out. It's going to be the darkest history, the darkest time in the history of mankind. Darkness fell over that scene. But let me tell you this. He said this. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen said the same thing when he was stoned. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm telling you what, brother and sister in Christ. Anytime you hedge on giving all to Him, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him, anytime we hedge in our devotion to Him, I think about what He said. Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Oh, yes, there are a lot of things that you and I as believers, we do that we shouldn't be doing. We may think in terms of being devoted and loyal to the person of Christ. How loyal? How devoted are we to Him? All the way? All the way? I think sometimes we should spend more time in having heart searching and rededication of our lives to Him. Because we discover, down deep, as I said before, we're ashamed of just how little we're willing to yield up and say, Lord, there's nothing in this life that I put above You. Nothing! Nobody or anything do I put before You. You're all to me. The way it is. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So they crucified Him. They gave Him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. He wouldn't drink it. I would have liked to have touched on what Pilate said and all of that time he spent with Pilate, but time won't permit. The end of all of this, the Lord Jesus gave a mighty cry. Said He did, said it with a loud voice. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Someone else there had some enlightenment too. There was a centurion there. He'd been watching all of this. He'd been listening. He had heard all that had taken place. You know what he said? He said this, truly, of a truth, this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. Folks, God sent His Son into the world to die for poor sinners. That man that hung on the cross 2,000 years was God manifest in flesh. And He died for the likes of you and me. Died for the whole world. Poor sinners in the world today that are still running away from God and won't receive Christ. Let's see if we can't do a little bit more. Get a little bit more devoted. A little bit more devoted. To carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world in which we live today, because I said this so often. Some people don't like for you to say it. Tomorrow might be too late. Tomorrow might be too late. Oh yes, there will come a point in time when it'll be too late. There won't be any more opportunity. There won't be any time in which you can say, later on, someday, procrastination is one of the things that Satan loves. Not now. Take your own good time. I trust that your heart has just been touched a little like mine was, because mine was really touched by thinking about going to Calvary and thinking about the person that every one of us should say, I love Him because He first loved me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He took the penalty of my sin and your sin and made it possible for a poor sinner saved by the grace of God to have acceptance right before the throne of God. Our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks this morning for Your gift, Your unspeakable gift, to us. Oh, blessed Lord. May the Spirit of God challenge us afresh to live for Him. To truly live for Him. Every moment of every day until we see Him face to face. This we ask in His precious and holy name. Amen. No water.
In closing, if you'll turn to number 185, the hymn that Bob quoted was actually 176 in our books, but it's also in the black books.